Morning, everyone. The two main verses that I want to focus on this morning from the Word of God are, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." And the other verse is, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." And this book here, the Bible, it's not reserved for the theologians. It's not reserved for the theologians. It's actually written for everyday, ordinary people like you and I. And for the most part, the Bible is written in everyday language for everyday people. And the Bible clearly states that there is no private interpretation of the Word of God, of the Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures, they are God-breathed. Holy men of God, with their own unique personalities and backgrounds and shortcomings, strengths and weaknesses, all these sorts of things, they were filled with the Spirit of God, and they recorded for us the words of God, and compiled together makes the Word of God. And this book was written over periods of time of peace and times of war. It was written over times of famine and times of plenty. It was written by kings, by scholars, by fishermen, tax collectors, farmers. So it's written by a wide range, even a doctor. It's written by a wide range of people from various backgrounds, written over many, many centuries. And yet when we read the Bible, there's one continuing theme woven throughout the Bible, and that's God's love for his people, his love for his creation, and how he redeems his creation, how he brings his creatures, mankind specifically, and how he saves them from everlasting destruction. So the Bible also uses everyday things to teach us spiritual realities. The Bible uses things like wind, and soil, and fig trees, and fruit trees, and planting barley, and wheat, and weeds, and thorns, and thistles, and fish, and sheep, and lambs, my favorites, and shepherds. So the Bible uses some of these everyday things that we're kind of familiar with, grapevines, and it uses these everyday things to teach us spiritual realities. And right now, we're just at the beginning of lambing season on our farm. It's just about to begin. We have a group lambing in April, and then we have another group. Most of them are going to lamb in May once the grass is green. Do you think it'll be green in, a month? but we're just starting, and yesterday we had our first couple lambs born, and so lambing season for me, it's the season of new birth. It's the season of new birth. There's all these cute little, sweet little lambs that are being born. During the season of new birth, as shepherds, we spend a lot of time on our knees. And so hopefully there's a picture for us. Shepherds spend a lot of time on our knees. When there's a lamb born, if there's a breeze or if it's drafty, we dry it off so that it doesn't get chilled and become hypothermic. And we want to make sure that that the lamb has lots of milk, and sometimes we have to help it to drink. But usually they do really well. Sometimes we spend time on our knees just helping a ewe give birth. There's maybe some mechanical issues that we just assist with. But as shepherds, during the season of new birth, we spend a lot of time on our knees assisting if there's any complications. So hopefully the imagery is not lost for shepherds spending time on their knees as is, in people's lives for the season and new birth. We need to spend time on our knees, lifting up a lost soul before the throne of grace, praying that the Lord would open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of their sins and inheritance of eternal life with those that are sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. I knew a dear sister, and she's gone home to be with the Lord. And if there was something that was heavy on your heart, and you shared that with her, she wouldn't say, well, I'll pray for you this week. No, she would say, let's pray. And she would just pray right then and there. And I really appreciated that. And this week I was speaking to someone on the phone, and they said, we were talking about different things, and they said, well, let's pray. And so we prayed together over the phone, and we had that wonderful fellowship in the Lord Jesus. So this morning, let's pray. Let's pray let's pray specifically for someone that doesn't know the Lord, that the Lord would bring someone to your mind this morning, that we would pray for them right now. Right here, just in a few moments, we'll have a few moments of silence and in the middle of this message, and we'll pray for someone. We'll bow the knee of our hearts and spend time on our knees, as it were, to lift someone up before the throne of grace. Someone who's walking in darkness, or someone that doesn't have assurance of sins forgiven. And maybe you're here this morning and you're just not sure whether your sins are forgiven or not, or how it's all going to work out in the end. And maybe you don't have peace with God. And maybe you're just not sure where you stand with the Lord. And what you can pray too, and you can ask God from the bottom of your heart, you know, open my eyes, show me the way that I can have my sins forgiven. So let's pray that the Lord would open our hearts and minds this morning to His truth, and that today would be the day of salvation, that the Lord would save to the uttermost. So let's do that right now. We'll have a few moments, and we'll quietly bow our hearts before the Lord. Sometimes at lambing, we have orphan lambs, and an orphan lamb is a lamb. It's a lamb without a mother. It's lost its mother, or it's been rejected by its mother. Just maybe it just has no idea where its mother is, and we always try to. Best case scenario, we can pick this little lamb up and find its mom, and then the mom raises the lamb and. That's what we try to do, but sometimes we end up with these orphan lambs and we have no idea who the mother is. We've tried to find it, but we don't know. Or the mother, we know who the mother is, but she's given it the boot and won't accept it. So, although an orphan lamb is not loved by its mother, although it's lost its mother somewhere along the way, it's certainly loved by the shepherd. And the shepherd picks up this orphan lamb, and we carry them in our arms, and we take them to our lamb nursery, and we give it the special things that it needs, and the special attention that it needs in our lamb nursery. And likewise, everyone that resembles that orphan lamb that's lost or rejected is loved by the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd. They're loved by the good shepherd. And just as the shepherd loves his sheep, says, I love my sheep. So the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves his flock. And the Bible says in Isaiah, behold, the Lord God shall feed his flock. He shall gather them, the Lord God shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. So if you are if you're a lost or a rejected lamb this morning, the Lord Jesus desires to gather you in his arms and to carry you in his bosom. The Lord Jesus desires to have a relationship with you. He desires that you would live, the Lord Jesus desires that we would live with him forever. Forever in heaven. The Bible says that only perfect people can live with a perfect God. And obviously there's one problem with that. We're not perfect. People aren't perfect. And every one of us has done wrong. Do we all agree with that? Yeah. So I don't think we need to spend too much time convincing ourselves that we've sinned and come short of God's perfect standard. I mean, some days we don't even measure up to our own standards, right? Let alone God's holy, perfect standard. And since, you know, it's really only right that all sin is punished, we have a problem. We've sinned, and that must be punished. And the Bible says that our sin has actually alienated us from God. However, God, our good shepherd, he's had a plan from the very beginning. He's had a plan all along. The Bible says that God would provide a Savior who would one day come to earth and rescue anyone that wanted to be saved from the punishment of sin. In the Old Testament, when people were looking forward to the coming of the promised Savior that God would send, God asked them to do something special that would help them to understand how God could punish sin without punishing them. And God asked them to bring a perfect lamb to an altar. And the one bringing the lamb to the altar, they had to lay their hand on the head of the lamb. And was showing that the sin was being placed on the lamb. And then the lamb had to die then, because the punishment for sin is death. The lamb had to die in this person's place. Well, one day, John the Baptist was speaking to a large group of people, and he saw Jesus approaching the scene, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And there's a marvelous connection truth here. Just as in the Old Testament, just as the lamb in the Old Testament was brought to a special place of death, the altar, so the Lord Jesus Christ was brought to a special place of death, the cross. And in prayer, our brother mentioned a Palm Sunday, and on Palm Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday, that Sunday in the scriptures, they lined the streets with their clothes and with palm branches, and Jesus was riding in on an untrained colt. And they were saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They were selecting the lamb, as it were, which was about to die on the cross. So, just as the hand was going onto the lamb, showing that the sin was placed on the lamb, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ took all our sins upon himself. The Bible says, he who bore our sins in his body on the cross. So the Lord Jesus, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus is the atonement, or he is the offering for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. All the sin that has ever been committed, all of it, all the nasty stuff, the anger, the worst of the worst crimes, to the socially acceptable sins, you know, like those things, that thing that, you know, I probably shouldn't have said, but I went ahead and said it anyways, that type of a thing, to all of the gossip and the lies and the lust and the anger, all these, and the pride, it was all nailed to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, it means that Jesus Christ is the Lamb that died for our sins. Jesus is the Lamb that made the full payment for our sin. The Bible says that through faith in Jesus Christ, we can have forgiveness of sins. If Jesus simply died and that was the end of it, that would be terrible. But it is not the end of the story. Jesus rose from the dead the third day, having victory over sin and death. And I'm going to park the resurrection for next Sunday, because our brother, he has a message dedicated to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll dig into that next Sunday. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he died for our sins and he rose again. God was satisfied with the payment that he made for our sin. Our sins have been paid in full. Isn't that amazing? Our sins have been paid in full. Isn't that marvelous? We don't always look at impressed when we've heard that. Maybe we've heard this many times before. Having heard this before is no excuse for not bowing in awe and wonder, with our heart overflowing with gratitude and thankfulness to our Creator Savior. The psalmist wrote, "I stand in awe of your word, Might we too stand in awe of his word this morning. Remember, the good shepherd wants us to live with him forever. Well, it's now possible. The good shepherd has given his life for the sheep. And he's not only our shepherd, he's also the Lamb of God which takes away our sins. What should we do with this truth that we've heard this morning? The Bible says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Let us reason together, says the Lord. That's divine reasoning or God reasoning. The offer that God presents is that our sins would be as white as snow. And it says that our sins would be as wool. And wool takes on the color that it's been dyed with. And we've been dyed in the death and burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now we've taken on the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness. When we accept God's reasoning, "Come now, let us reason together," says the Lord. When we accept God's reasoning by faith, we are cleansed from our sin. This cleansing has nothing to do with our human effort. This cleansing from sin is only possible through the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ, accomplished by the shedding of his blood on the cross. This morning we consider the Lord Jesus Christ as the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. And we've considered the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Where do we go from here then? Well, we can place our faith, we can place our trust, place our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. There's no other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved. So tell the Lord right now, in the quietness of your own heart, that you trust him to save you from your sins. Tell the Lord that you trust him to save you from your sins. Trust him as the Lamb of God that died and rose again for your sins. And then tell someone here. Tell someone that you've trusted Jesus to save you from your sins. You don't need to be ashamed. Listen, the Creator God of the universe has paid the penalty in full for your sins, for my sins, for our sins. We don't need to be ashamed of him. You know, we might tell someone outside of this room, and they might think we're weird, or they might ridicule us. So what? We've been saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Near the beginning, we prayed for someone quietly at the beginning. Maybe you can tell that person when you see them. Maybe you were asking at the beginning in that quiet prayer that God would show you how you could have your sins forgiven. Get forgiven. Trust him. Trust him that the Lord Jesus Christ made that payment for your sins. And perhaps you've been trusting the Lord for some time now, but it's been some time since you've actually discussed him with someone else, other people. But why not talk about what the Lord's doing in your life with your Christian friends, or how he's working in your heart and what he's teaching you? So in closing this morning, I just encourage us to stand in awe of the Lord Jesus, to bow in wonder of him, and to say, "Hallelujah, the Savior is ours."